We all know about the great world-class Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but there's a very interesting history. You may not know about it. You may not know. The president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is Doug Bowles. He joins us now. Doug, good morning. You've been running things there for more than 10 years. Tell us what a lot of people don't know about the history of the Speedway.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I love an opportunity to talk to folks in Chicago. Second biggest market that we have for the Indianapolis 500, a lot of connections to the Bettenhausen family, Dale Coyne Racing, and others that have been connected or are in the Chicago area. But, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was built in 1909 by a guy named Carl Fisher. And as Midwesterners, going to Florida and Miami Beach, that was started by Carl Fisher. In fact, Fisher Island down there named after him. But he was really interested in transportation. And in the early 1900s, how can we make our cars better in the U.S. and the Lincoln Highway's here because of Carl Fisher, and a lot of our transportation that we have today is rooted in that, in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And in 194 days, we get to do the 109th running of the Indy 500, sort of in honor of Carl, but more importantly, in honor of the Midwestern spirit of how we get together on Memorial Day weekend and celebrate men and women who served and those families that have had folks to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms.
You oversaw quite a renovation there at the Speedway, didn't you?
So in 2016, as we got ready for our 100th running of the Indianapolis 500, we invested about $100 million in the customer experience. And then in 2020, Roger Penske bought the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And since he's purchased it, we put about another $75 million in that customer experience. So a lot of renovation that we've worked through and continue to work through and trying to make a difference. And when customers come to the place, you want it to still feel like that century-old facility that seats 235,000 people in its permanent seats and has over 350,000 people there on race day. But you also wanted to have some of those modern amenities that we expect now when we go watch a Chicago Bears game or the Bulls or the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. It seems like racing is more popular than ever. I don't want to say there's a resurgence because it's always been popular, but what has been happening lately to drive all of this interest?
Well, I think there's been a lot of focus lately on the personalities in the sport. Obviously, NASCAR investing in coming right downtown Chicago and bringing the race to the people. A lot of what the IndyCar Series does as well is they take the race to the streets of Long Beach and the streets of Detroit and other places, just like NASCAR has come to the streets of Chicago. So I think really trying to take the racing to the center cities and the opportunity then for those folks to connect with the drivers who are amazing personalities in and of themselves, I think, has helped. And the competition from an IndyCar side has been tremendous, and the competition on the NASCAR side, you saw it this past weekend at the Phoenix race, their final race, four drivers really right together trying to win a championship. So I think that makes it entertaining for the fans.
Doug, you had a great finish this year with Newgarden and award in the 500, and I mean, I do think this has been a focus is making these players drivers rather more recognizable for people who have not been to the Indianapolis 500. I've been there; it's quite an experience. What would be your recommendation in terms of how to fully enjoy the experience of going to the Speedway on 500 day?
Yeah, it's the world's largest single-day sporting event. So it's 350,000 people essentially inside a 275-acre venue. And I always tell people, if you've never come before, let us help connect you with somebody that lives near you that's come before and bring that person along sort of as your Sherpa, as if you were climbing a mountain. because it can be intimidating. You have to get there early. You spend the day there watching the racing. You want to know what's going on. But what makes the race so special, 60%+ of our fans, the one race they go to a year is the Indy 500. They don't go to another. And it's because it's an event. There's so much else that's going on that makes it so special. All the pre-race ceremonies, the way we celebrate men and women who serve, all of those things that take place. It is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that everybody should experience. And I find that when people go the first time, oftentimes that begins what becomes a decade-long tradition of coming to the Indianapolis 500 on Memorial Day weekend. It's not uncommon for me to run into a fan who's been to 75 or more Indianapolis 500s. It's amazing to see the commitment that people have to participate in this race. It's hard to explain. I tell people, it's like when you go to the beach and you see that beautiful sunset and you want to take a picture to share with your family at home and you look at it on the screen, you're like, it's pretty, but it's not as magical as it is in person.
Right.
And that's really what the Indy 500 is. You have to experience it in person to really understand the magic of it.
How about a unique Christmas gift? Buy somebody tickets. You can do that, right?
Absolutely. It's a unique Christmas gift to buy people tickets to come to the Indianapolis 500, or come on down for qualifying weekend, which is the weekend before the 500, or come on down for the Grand Prix, which kicks the weekend, kicks the month of May off, 2 weekends before the 500. 15 and under are free. We do everything we can to make it easy for a family to bring kids down. And frankly, I want kids to come because I want kids to start that love of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway early so they carry it on. If you're a college-age kid, on race day, we have a big EDM concert that really takes place during the race. So 25,000 young adults listening to EDM music, people like Marshmello and Deadmau5 and those kind of crazy EDM artists from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. while a race is going on inside the venue is a pretty spectacular sight as well.
Here's something else I bet a lot of people aren't aware of, or maybe they are, but there's a golf course in the middle of the Brickyard, right?
Absolutely. So I said the racetrack itself is 275 acres. We've got about a 1,000-acre campus that is all of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It does have a Pete Dye designed golf course. 4 of the holes are actually inside the racetrack. 14 are outside the racetrack. Our golf course is hosted the PGA, the senior PGA, the LPGA. The Beatles have played it. I mean, it is a fascinating little golf course. And the fun fact of having those 4 holes actually inside the racetrack, you get a chance to play golf while race cars are going around the track, is a pretty special moment.
Start your engines. Doug Bowles, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Sounds like you're doing, what, about 95 right now, Doug?
I'm cruising along about 64, so I'm trying to stay in the speed limit. I'm going from one meeting to another, but I didn't want to miss out on an opportunity to talk to you all and touch base with an important market and remind everybody we're only 194 days away from the 109th running. Hope to see a lot of you here.
Gotcha. Doug Bowles. Have a good one. Be safe.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. It's 8:47 right now.
I have a friend who does that every year. They book a tea time down there. They go down and play.
I never knew that.
And then they're there for the 500 for the whole weekend.
Yeah, pretty cool. I'd like to go sometime. That's got to be unbelievable. Like you said, you have to be there.
You need to go. But what's nice now is there are apps, so you can really follow the race digitally, basically, while you're watching it. So you can really keep up to speed on, so to speak.
I can't imagine the size of the crowd, though.
It is. It is something else. There's no doubt.